The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So on this Monday, we start a new theme for the week, a theme that will continue for a few weeks. And that will be what's called in Pali the Brahma Viharas, sometimes known as the Divine Abodes. And sometimes a different word is used to describe them, which is the immeasurables, the immeasurable abodes or dwellings. So these are four qualities of kind of social attitudes, or four different flavors of caring for the world, caring for ourselves. So a background for these: in ancient India, the records we have, and we don't know what else was going on, but the earliest records we have that survive in writing of the religions of ancient India began with the idea that there are gods, and the gods influence the events of the world, and that we need to make sacrifices and offerings to the gods so they'll treat us favorably, and then things, crops will grow and the cows will flourish and whatever else needed, you know, to whatever we wanted. Over time, in a couple of centuries maybe before the Buddha, there became this idea that the external world, the cosmos, the divine world, the world of the gods, was to be found inside of oneself, that there was an internalization of where the very thing that's found outside is also found within. And so then there was an internalization of religious practice, looking inward, and that's maybe where meditation began. And the Buddha was part of this internalization movement of ancient India. And one way we see it is with this, that the divine, which the earlier tradition was looking for within oneself, the divine eventually became coalesced in some areas of India around the idea of a divinity, a kind of prime, main god named Brahma. And then the Buddha, rather than focusing externally on this concept of a divinity or a god, he was part in this internalization movement, pointed out that we can experience in ourselves the attitudes, the qualities, the abidings, the life of this Brahma in ourselves. And we can dwell like Brahma, we could be like this great God, if we dwelled in the four Brahma Viharas. And Vihara means dwellings or abodes, so the four abodes of Brahma. And the dwellings where Brahma lives is in loving-kindness, goodwill, in compassion, in appreciative joy, and a certain kind of social attitude called equanimity. And we'll talk about that. So these are fairly well known in our Vipassana scene. Metta, Karuna, Mudita, Upekkha. And so it's quite a thing, quite a movement, this ancient Indian movement of internalizing or finding within oneself the qualities of the divine. And so some people will translate Brahma Viharas, rather than the abidings of the god Brahma, they'll call it in English the divine abodes. And this idea that it's, you know, and that's quite a, I think, a powerful word in English to call something divine. And to discover it inside oneself, that's where it can be found. As in the lore of Buddhism, or in the iconography of Buddhism, you'll find these statues of Brahma, and the statues have four faces, and pointing in the four different directions. So there's, and these four faces, each of them represent one of these Brahmaviharas. So the one in the front, looking out in the world, is that of goodwill and kindness. To the right, I believe, is compassion. To the back is appreciative joy. And to the left is equanimity. And so the four faces of Brahma, so in a way this represents, these are the four faces that we can bring to the world. Depending on the circumstances at the time, that's the way we can gaze and look upon the world. But we might also think of this idea that these are kind of the face, the way we look at the world, that the body of Brahma, deep inside of Brahma, there is something deeper than loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity, and something which is animates us into action. And that is the word that I've talked about last spring called anukampa, and I translate it as care, the basic caring of for the world, caring for others, a kind of love, tender love, tender care, that is the seed or the source for these other four. And this is what if we drop really deep inside, get really quiet and still and calm and relaxed, that there is a kind of sensitivity, a vibration, a warmth, a glow, a tenderness that is not quite compassion, not quite loving kindness, not quite appreciative joy or equanimity, but it has qualities that are related to all of those, or which is quieter and tender and almost like doesn't want a label or a word. It's not quite each of those, but are often seen as love because we have no other maybe English word for it. But it could also be experienced differently. It could even be a sense of coziness. But this deeper sense of care. And this is one of the things that as we meditate and get quieter and quieter and put things on the shelf, leave things at the door, and really allow ourselves to settle and settle and this movement, internalization movement, to really when we really get most quiet and not concerned with our thoughts anymore about what's happening during the day or relationship to other people or concerns about the future, concerns about the past, or being lost in fantasy, but really get settled. It's as if there's a natural capacity there, our natural capacity to care, which a wonderful image for this that I came across weeks ago. I was hiking up in the hills nearby at a place, at a nature preserve, and look on some wide grasslands and oak woodlands and things in this preserve. And there's a good number of deer that live there. The rules of the preserve is everyone's supposed to walk on the trails only. And the deer, of course, can walk anywhere. And over these decades of this preserve, these deer that are there are quite used to the people. And they must have gotten understood well that people stay on the trails. And so they come relatively close to the, you know, they're kind of just grazing and living there and mostly feeling pretty safe, I think, and comfortable. And last time I was there, I saw one deer with kind of grooming with its teeth, kind of cleaning the neck of another deer. I realized, wait a minute. You know, deer can lick themselves, parts of their body, but they can't really clean their necks. And they can't like cats come up and kind of rub the top of their heads and all this. And so, if they want to clean their necks or the tops of their heads or something, they have to do it for each other. And this this idea, these mammals, these our fellow mammals, the deer, that kind of they're kind of maybe herd animals that care for each other in different ways, that the basic caring and cleaning and tending is such a basic human, maybe even mammalian activity that is almost like instinct inside of us. I associate very much with the in my image, kind of a mother or parent taking care of a very young child, a little baby, and the tenderness and care and gentleness in which that dedication, devotion, love that's there for caring for something that's so vulnerable and needs our attention. And so this innate capacity that sometimes is covered over, sometimes is very unique, experienced very uniquely for each person, very different from other people. So I like the word care. And care, depending on the circumstance, manifests as or morphs into goodwill, compassion, appreciative joy, or equanimity. And it's pretty fundamental, care, and there's a lot that can support that. To be supported by inner stability, supported by mindfulness and awareness, to be supported by the capacity to recognize what it is that takes us away from that, what we get caught up in, and what kind of disconnects us in a way from this deeper place of subtleness and sensitivity and openness and even a place of deep safety inside that we discover in meditation, that no matter what someone says or even does to us, we can have discovered there's a place that is not harmed by anything. It's a place of deep, deep safety that is kind of coterminous or very connected to this deep place of warmth, of care, of tenderness. And so goodwill, metta, is the feeling of wanting people to be happy and how we meet the happiness of the world. That compassion is how we meet the unhappiness of the world, the suffering of the world, wishing that suffering to go away and to empathize and sympathize in the suffering. Appreciative joy is to celebrate the good fortune that people have. And equanimity is the feeling of love when we can't really do anything, but people have their fortune is not so good sometimes, and unfortunate things happen, and we can care for them, we can love them, but there's also a degree of kind of not getting upset or agitated, reactive to the misfortune of the world, but having this beautiful love, care, supported and protected with a certain kind of equanimity or balance, non-reactivity. So that's going to be the topic over this next period of time. And for the rest of this week, we'll talk more about loving kindness and metta. And I hope that as we do this series, that you really think of it as pointing to kind of getting the home base or the supportive base for mindfulness practice itself, for meditation. Thank you.